Hi, and welcome to another AusChamp Beijing podcast. To hear more, log on to www.auschamp.org.
Well, welcome. And today we are joined by Russell Brown, founder and managing partner of Lehman Brown International Accountants and treasurer of AusChamp Beijing. Russell has been involved in establishing and developing businesses in China for over 20 years now. Lehman Brown and Russell are also active members and sponsors of the AusChamp Beijing SME Working Group. Russell joins us today to share his insights on corporate tax in China and how it affects SMEs. Well, Russell, firstly, can you give us a general understanding of Chinese taxation and how the system works for SMEs?
Yeah, sure. There's an overall tax system that's set at state level. And it's developed over the years, and it's becoming more sophisticated than it used to be. But whether you're a multinational or you're an SME, the actual tax is the same in terms of the fact that you've got to pay turnover tax. If you make profits, you're going to pay profits tax. You're going to pay individual income tax for individuals. And then surrounding that, you've got other taxes like luxury goods tax or consumption tax, business tax. But their taxes are all the same, unless you are below a certain threshold as an SME, which is quite a small threshold, which most companies wouldn't fall into. Or on the VAT, there's a classification as to whether you are a small VAT payer or a general VAT payer. If you're a service company, for instance, if you're a small VAT payer below 5 million RMB, after you've registered as an annual turnover, you'd pay 3%, but you wouldn't have any offset. Where if you were a larger company and you were a general VAT payer, you would get the offset of the input and the output tax.
Okay. So, taking a step back, how are the respective income tax rates classified and what are they?
In terms of corporate tax, the corporate tax rate is set at 25%, and that's the standard rate across the country, the corporate income tax which you pay on profits. Now, that is on profits for the year. If you've got no carry-forward losses, you can actually carry forward losses 5 years. You can't carry back. There are, though, incentives, and so for instance, if you're in a certain specific industry that comes under the high-tech classification, there's 218 industries where you can get a reduced tax rate to 15%. There are also certain economic zones and industries where you can get a 0% rate for 3 years, for instance, and a 50% of the prevailing rate for the next 3 years. So what we would normally do with any company that's establishing in China is we would look at what industry they're in, and we would then see whether they might be able to fall with any of the classifications where they can get a reduced tax rate or preferential tax rate or a tax holiday. Equally, though, outside of these tax specifications, which are set at state level, local tax jurisdictions sometimes will give tax rebates on the tax that you can pay locally, but that's for always agreement at the local level. So that's corporate income tax rate. We then have individual income tax, which is paid for individuals, and that's a sliding scale from 3 to 45%, with 45% kicking in at 80,000 RMB, being 80,000 RMB above your tax-free allowance. And then with individuals, there are certain things that can be done from a tax planning perspective. And then, of course, I mentioned in the previous question about the VAT. Though the normal VAT rate is 17% for products and 6% for services, or 3% if you're a small VAT payer, there is actually a catalogue which is updated on a regular basis that has all of your normal industry classification codes of products, which you would go and review to actually find out what the specific rate is for that specific product.
So, Russell, what approaches for tax planning would you recommend to an SME to efficiently and legally minimize their Chinese tax obligations?
When companies establish in China, one of the things that has to be done right at the beginning is to decide how you own that company. For instance, do you own the company direct from Australia, or do you come in via Hong Kong or some other jurisdiction? So when we look at the tax, though we look at China tax, we also have to take into account the overall tax burden of a company as well, taking into account all jurisdictions. From a China tax perspective, we can actually minimize the tax here by utilizing cross-charging and transfer pricing. So for instance, if a company is selling into China and then the China entity is then on selling, what margin does it make within China, and what is the price that it's paying for those products that are coming in? Or if the company in China is selling outside, what price is it charging? So first there's transfer pricing on anything that's within an intercompany relationship, crossing a border, and finding something that is both an arm's length and reasonable, but equally arm's length is not scientific, it's an art form. There's also ways of cross-charging. Cross-charging for head office support, which we call service fees. We don't call them management fees because management fees are non-deductible, but service fees are deductible in China and can be cross-charged. If the services are fully conducted overseas, i.e. nobody's flying into China, then those services can be provided for, and the only tax that's applied is VAT. The beauty of being a general VAT payer is that any VAT that you pay, you can offset the input and the output. You can also charge royalties. So royalties, you could charge for use of trademark, use of intellectual property, and that can be paid outside of China to the entity that owns the IP. And again, there's sales tax applied, and there's also withholding tax applied. But both services and royalties can be used to reduce the profits in China and therefore to reduce the amount of profits tax. We would look at the overall tax burden, though, taking into account all taxes when we do tax planning to try and harmonize and optimize the overall tax structure. I mentioned a minute ago about the use of holding companies. The question is normally not a China tax question when you look at holding companies. It's more of an overseas tax question. China does charge 10% withholding tax on dividends. So the tax rate is 25% as a general amount, though you do have some holidays or some special rates for certain industries. But when you pay a dividend, 10% withholding tax is applied to that dividend, unless there's a special tax treaty in place between respective countries, whereby there might be a reduced rate. Some tax treaties have 5%, for instance. Hong Kong has 5%, Singapore, UK, as well as a few other countries. The 5%, though, can only be utilized if the parent of the China entity is a real entity, as in an operating entity that has income and has cost. If it's purely a holding vehicle, you won't be able to obtain the 10%. The question becomes an overseas question with regards to the ultimate holding company as well, because if you're paying withholding tax, you want to be able to get a credit back in your home country ultimately. So there's a question whether that withholding tax, if you've got a vehicle in the middle, can flow through that to the ultimate parent where you can get a credit to reduce your tax in your home country.
Well, that begs the question. What are the consequences of non-compliance with local tax regulations?
The China Tax Bureau has preset penalties for different kinds of tax, and it also charges interest on tax that hasn't been paid, and they can be substantial. Multiples, we're talking of an amount of back tax that wasn't paid to the level of, say, 300%. And then when you add interest on, it's quite punitive. The thing with tax and penalties is that the penalties are on a sliding scale up to that level. And so it all comes down to negotiation with the local tax bureau. It's therefore better for companies to make sure that they're reasonable in everything that they do. We normally say you reasonably pay reasonable tax and you're reasonably okay. It's about being strong, which is in the middle. The tax bureau do analysis within industries, and they look at margins, they look at profit margins and gross profit margins, and they analyze companies in the same industry to see where the median is. And they find who the outliers are, and if that company has a lot of transfer pricing, transactions, related party transactions, then they would investigate to find out whether that was the cause of the margins not being in line with the industry norms. It's therefore very important for companies to make sure that They've done analysis of any related party transactions. They've looked at their business model. They're reasonably paying tax where they need to, and they're doing all their filings on time. Now, I mentioned earlier about transfer pricing, that it is an art form, and therefore it is about finding the reasonableness. The Chinese Tax Bureau tend to take a view that if you are paying some tax, then you're okay. If you've done your homework, then if they come to investigate you, then because you've done your homework, you're not going to be easy pickings, and therefore they're more likely to leave you alone. Also, if you're continually paying tax and doing your filings, then you'll be classified as a good taxpayer and therefore not subject to investigation. But the penalties for all taxes are very high if you don't pay, and the interest can be backdated to the period when it wasn't paid.
So, with regards to cross-border tax administration, what is the current mandate of the China Tax Bureau?
Well, China has become much more sophisticated in recent years, including establishing a special division of the Tax Bureau that specializes in transfer pricing. They have very good knowledge, and though China is not a member of the OECD, it is an observer, and the transfer pricing rules in China do follow the guidelines of OECD. So the regulations, for instance, talk about what is a permanent establishment within a country, and they talk about the rules of what is classified as a related party, and follow international guidelines. So outside of having this specialist unit, they've also been training tax officers in different jurisdictions in the art of understanding transfer pricing and being able to review transfer pricing. So outside of that strength, what are they doing? There are a number of industries that they're investigating at the moment, and they will have every now and again announcements of things that they want to check. So, for instance, this year we've seen an increase in the Tax Bureau checking royalty payments and the reasonableness of royalty payments, and not just looking at the last year or so, going back a few years. We've also seen certain manufacturing companies being checked, where then again they're not going back a few years, they're going back, for instance, one client of ours, they went back 10 years. And so we are seeing them checking to make sure the pricing is reasonable. Now, checking doesn't mean that you're guilty, because as I mentioned earlier, it's an art form, it's not a science. The key thing with the Tax Bureau is justification. So if your margins are lower, for instance, than your competitors, why are they lower? Is it because you're a different business model or different strategy? And as long as you can justify, then they're open to listen. If you have product sales that go above 200 million RMB, or passive income that goes above 40 million RMB, and I mentioned sales, but it could also be costs, where they're related party transactions of the same nature within that, then you have to do an annual transfer pricing filing now, which needs to be submitted in June each year. If you're below those, you still have to announce your transfer pricing or related party transactions in your annual audit report, because it's included in the notes of your audit report. And therefore, the main thing is to have justification for whatever you do. If you do have a contract between a subsidiary in China and a parent, then make sure that outside of that contract you've also done some analysis to show that that pricing is reasonable. The Tax Bureau like comparable analysis in particular, whereby you might know what your competitors charge when they cross a border, or what would be a normal discount when you sell to distributors. But it's all about justification and finding reasonableness, and if challenged, to be able to show that actually what you're doing is in line. And it's about being able to educate the Tax Bureau.
Thanks for listening. To find out more about OSCHAM Beijing, or to listen to another exclusive podcast, visit www.oscham.org.